supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salam, and welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. The topic of today's special is about the importance of Hijrah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. Rasulullah, Habiballah.
Rasulullah, Habiballah. Allah, our God, is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best, and give His best religion to them.
Today, Monday, is the 27th of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 4th of October 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter and fall, verse 72.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله والذين آووا ونصروا أولئك بعضهم أولياء بعض والذين آمنوا ولم يهاجروا ما لكم من ولايتهم من شيء حتى يهاجروا وإن استنصروكم في الدين فعليكم النصر إلا على قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق والله بما تعملون بصير.
Indeed, those who have believed and emigrated and fought with their wealth and lives in the cause of Allah, and those who gave shelter and aided, they are allies of one another. But those who believed and did not emigrate, for you there is no guardianship of them until they emigrate. And if they seek help of you for the religion, then you must help, except against a people between yourselves and whom is a treaty. And Allah is seeing of what you do.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Those who had faith and for the love of Allah and Messenger separated from their homes and relations. That means they migrated from Mecca to Medina, and those who gave shelter to the immigrants and helped them in war against their enemies, who are Ansar, the helpers, inherit each other. The immigrants and the helpers, Muhajirin and Ansar, inherited from each other because of the brethren contact by concluded from the beginning with each other until the time when this matter was abrogated by Surah Al-Anfal, chapter number 8, verse 75.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.
In fact, even during the time of the Prophet towards the end of his life, Allah reminded the believers of the Hijrah and how Allah had helped him through it. Through as the world descends into chaos, the life becomes difficult again. It is worth remembering the Hijrah that happened more than 1400 years ago. Most importantly, let us all make our own Hijrah from deeds that Allah doesn't like towards the deeds that Allah loves.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin ista'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the emigration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. In the Islamic religion, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Medina and his decision to go to Medina, to migrate to from Mecca to Medina, wasn't something quite abrupt. Rather, historically speaking, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mother, Amina, had many relatives in Medina. The Prophet Muhammad's maternal relatives from Medina used to come to Mecca in order to pay visits to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And prior to moving from Mecca, prior to migrating, prior to his emigration from Mecca to Medina, some people of Medina, some Medinans, the Prophet's Medinan relatives, came to Mecca and met him and received some messages and instructions from the Prophet. And because of this, making such background preparations for the promulgation and spread of the Islamic religion in Mecca, in Medina, when the time was ripe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to remain in Mecca anymore, because the pagans of Mecca had conspired to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because of this, we find that the Prophet left Mecca for Medina, and this has made the beginning of the Islamic era or Islamic Hijra calendar. Now we find that those people who used to abuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't tolerate the fast development of the Islamic religion, not in another land or in another country, but in a city almost very close to Mecca, that is in Medina.
Now, and timeless lessons from the Hijrah of Prophet Muhammad. Today's lesson, trusting Allah in times of difficulty, bring ease. The Prophet was in the cave and did not have a way out. The Quraysh were nearby and searching for him, and they came close. Abu Bakr whispered to the Prophet about his anxiety. That is when the Prophet replied, "Do not grieve, Allah is with us." The Prophet did not know exactly what would happen or how Allah would save them, but he knew that as they were on the path of Allah, he would suffice, and he did. And along with it, Allah sent down tranquility that can only come upon putting trust in Allah and allowing him to do what he is doing.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special:
the Hijrah of the Messenger of Allah from Mecca to Medina. This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special. The people of Mecca received news of the pact of the people of Yathrib with the messenger, which caused the color to drain from their faces. The leaders and important nobles of the idol-worshipping government of Mecca understood that the situation had changed. They feared that if the Muslims had established an important military encampment in the heart of the Arabian Peninsula, as a result, the very foundation of the central government of the idol worshippers in Mecca was in danger. The enemies of the Prophet awoke from their sleep and once again went into action. The supporters of Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, living in a very difficult circumstances because of the harassment and pressure in the part of the pagans of Mecca, requested permission of the Holy Prophet to travel to another place where their lives would be safe. 2 days later, the Messenger of Allah told them the best place for them in the present situation was the town of Yathrib. He added, "You can make hijrah to this place one by one, secretly and in perfect safety." After this order had been given, the Muslim began to leave Mecca one at a time using different excuses and subterfuges to escape unnoticed, making their way to Yathrib. Sayyid Saleh al-Ghazwini.
There were two that were with the Prophet. One was Abu Bakr, he was with the Prophet. And another individual that had to do with the story was Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now, which sacrifice is greater? The one who was with the Prophet, and the Prophet has to keep reassuring him, telling him, don't be afraid, Allah is with us, or the one who slept in the bed of Rasulullah knowing that it's going to be attacked? Whose iman is stronger? Today, if you have two friends, one person, he comes and he follows, you know you're being attacked. One person, he comes and he follows you and he's scared and you have to keep reassuring him. And the other person, he goes and he sacrifices his life for your sake. Who's going to be the more loyal friend? Of course, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. When Amir al-Mu'mineen slept in the bed of Rasulullah, the hadith says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told Jibra'il and Mika'il, the two angels, he told them, I've made you two brothers. Which one out of you is willing to sacrifice his life for his brother? No one wanted to sacrifice his life. Everyone wants the life. Everyone wants to live. And then he tells them, but look, you don't want to sacrifice your lives for one another. I made Ali the nafs of Rasulullah, and he's willing to sacrifice his life for the sake of Rasulullah. Go down and protect him. And this is why Jibra'il and Mika'il, they went down to protect Amir al-Mu'mineen, one on his right and one on his left, and they tell him, "Bakhin, bakhin laka ya Ali, man mithluka waqad baaha Allah bihi malaikat as-sama." Oh, congratulations, oh Ali, who is like you where Allah shows you off to the angels? Allah says, oh angels, learn from Ali.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
Dear friend, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we visit each other, same time, same channel. Till then, may Allah keep all of you in safe and peace. Have a nice time.
Lost and hearts frozen from you, Allah, came a prophet chosen. Bless prophets Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we are to do. Muhammad, ya Rasulullah, Muhammad, ya Habiballah, Muhammad.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and on the threshold of the anniversary of the departure from this mortal world of the Almighty's last messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, which also happens to be the anniversary of martyrdom of his elder grandson and second infallible successor, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, 39 years later, here is a statement from the Holy Prophet of Islam to enlighten our minds. This grandson of mine is a leader, and Almighty God will arrange peace between two groups through him.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There's a very beautiful and lengthy tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where a group of people, as mentioned in tradition, will be seen in a very beautiful state on the Day of Judgment. And people will ask them, you know, who are you? How do you get to that state? And so on and so forth. And a beautiful conversation ensues from this. So it is mentioned in this tradition, again it's a lengthy tradition, but the Holy Prophet says that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on the Day of Judgment a group would be seen in the most excellent and honorable of states. They will be seen in a very noble state. And then those who see them would ask them that, are you angels? Are you prophets? You know, who are you? This group will reply that we are neither angels nor are we prophets. We are of the slaves, of the poor ones from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are from the fuqara of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they will be asked, okay, if you say that you are from the fuqara, you are from the poor, the indigent, Then how did you reach such a status? What, you know, enabled you to reach the stages where you are in such a state on the day of judgment? They will reply that we did not perform very many good deeds. We were not like of the awliya. Nor did we pass all the days in a state of fasting or all the nights in a state of worship. But yes, we used to offer our daily prayers regularly. So what can be understood is they used to do their wajibat, so they would fast in the holy month of Ramadan as well. You can extract it from this. They would do their wajibat at least. You know, but there was something else that they would do. And whenever we used to hear the mention of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, whenever we would hear the name of the Holy Prophet, and we can extend this. And so whenever we heard the name of one of the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and more specifically, whenever we heard the name of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, why? Husayn al-Minni wa ana min al-Husayn. Whenever we heard these names, tears would roll down our cheeks. So why would you cry unless you have an extreme love for these people? That we knew that reality was within them. Everything we have is from them. Even though we were not the most in terms of actions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to get their closeness, that uns and that proximity to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, inshaAllah. So that we may be one of these who on the Day of Judgment will be seen in a noble, high and esteemed state. InshaAllah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me. And Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Let's Recite the Quran. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for accepting our invitation, actually. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. At first, we are going to introduce to you a reciter of the Noble Quran, and then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Besides these parts, we're going to have some other Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you. So, dear audience, stay tuned. Today, we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. As you know, he's an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1905. And he passed away in 1978 at the age of 73. He is entitled Malikul Qurra, which means the king of reciters. He had a unique style. He recited the Quran in a particular fashion
employing Arabic maqamat to illustrate the words of Allah to the listener. Many famous reciters were influenced by the style of this prominent reciter, such as Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna, Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash, and Sheikh Hamdi Zamil. Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, is interested in his recitations and advised Quran reciters to follow his style. Now let's listen to the recitation of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail reciting Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 116. Let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Wa in qala Allahu ya Isa ibn Maryam a anta qulta linnasi takhizuni wa
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verse 116 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, recited by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In terms of maqamat, this entire recitation was in maqam Hijaz. And Mustafa Ismail is very good at utilizing this maqam. In fact, he is a master of all maqamat. And if you listen to the way that he pronounces a-anta, we have two hamzatul qata right after another. He applied the nabra very well. A-anta, it's not a-anta. Okay, there should be no tasheel. And another thing about this recitation before we move on to the tajweed points, to the rest of the tajweed points, is that this recitation was in the riwayah of Khalaf and Hamza. How do we know that? He said ummi ilahaini. He didn't say ummiya ilahaini. This is the difference between one of the differences between Hafs and Asim and Hamza, the qira'ah of Hamza. And of course, this is not incorrect. Probably some listeners who are not familiar with the different riwayas, they might think that this reciter is
making a mistake.
Making mistakes. He's not reciting correctly. But this is not the case. He's just using another riwayah, which, you know, Hamza has a lot of sect. For example, we have an أقول. Whenever there is a second letter followed by a hamza, you have to make a sect on the second letter, and then you pronounce the hamza. And I think it's optional to apply sect when there is a long vowel followed by a hamza. And this is what Sheikh Mustafa Ismail does. Subhanak, the kaf was pronounced very well by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. Very clear and audible. Subhanak. We hear the sound of kaf.
The clicking sounds heard.
It's like a clicking sound. Bihaqqa. We have a qaf with tashdeed. Mustafa Ismail, when he paused on this word, when he stopped, did waqf on this word, he applied the qalqala in the special way that you have to apply it. Whenever there is a letter of qalqala with tashdeed at the end, I mean, the letter is the last letter of a word, which is qalqala. Bihaqqa. Al-Hajj, or Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabin wa Tabb. Okay, you hold the first letter of Qalqala, but you don't pronounce it, and then you pronounce the second letter of Qalqala with Sukun and, of course, Qalqala.
But as far as I remember, you said that we are not supposed to keep the articulators at the place of articulation.
Yes, whenever there is no tashdeed.
Letter.
When there is no tashdeed. Whenever there is tashdeed, because there are two of the same letters. The first one you hold, the second one you release.
Okay. And this way we can apply the qalqala of
mushadda letters. Yes, if you were to pronounce both of the qafs, you would have to apply two qalqalas. Bihaqqa. Is that even possible? No. And we have ikhfa of nun sakina in the word anta. Anta. We have to approximate the place of articulation of ta, which is after the nun sakina. Ikhfa is one of the rules of nun sakina. Nun sakina can be pronounced in different ways. One of the ways of pronouncing nun sakina is with ikhfa. And ikhfa means the nun sakina is not pronounced completely. It's a partial nun sakina where we only hear the nasalization.
Yes, we forget about the place of articulation of
yes,
nun.
Yes, we get we omit.
Who omits, better to say,
And the last point is, again, a difference between hafs and hamza. Or actually, hafs an asim and khalaf an hamza. Instead of saying Allamul Ghuyub, Mustafa Ismail said Allamul Ghuyub, a ghain with a kasra. Ghuyub. This is another difference between hafs and khalaf. Yes.
With the same meaning.
Yeah, the meaning is the same. Biyut, for example, we also have biyut.
Instead of boyut?
Buyut. Buyut is in hafs.
Okay, thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program. Let's recite the Quran. Stay tuned.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. What makes the Quran superior as far as the i'jaz or the miraculousness of it, because not only does this miracle deal with affairs of dunya, but it gives us salvation in akhirah as well. Yeah? Yani this miracle is not just limited to here. When Musa alayhi salam split the Red Sea is not splitting in Jannah as well. Yeah? But when Allah gives the guidance in dunya through the Quran, that guidance will benefit us here and will benefit in Akhirah as well. So you see that it's a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's perpetual. Yeah? that's never ending, right? And so it has this duality of benefit attached to it, where it's not only the intellect that can comprehend it or can feel the effect of it, it's the spirit and the intellect that are affected by this miracle, and so it ranks higher in superiority, right? The second reason why is that once the sea was split, and you could put a time frame to it and say that on this day and on this year, Musa alayhi salam split the sea. One cannot put a time stamp on the miraculous nature of the Holy Quran. Yeah? To say that it healed the soul back then, no, it heals souls till now. Yeah? It continues to guide till now. It's not something that was reserved for when the Prophet came, but again, it is continuous nature, continues till now, and thus for these reasons, right? The Quran is considered to be the greatest miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given to and saved for the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Li'ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And so, you know, it becomes our understanding or our responsibility that you and I have to do a better job of being acquainted with the Quran, of being in touch with the Holy Quran.
That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, God bless you all, have a nice time, and goodbye. من نام سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن. When your horse returns to our camp riderless, أزور سيدي معتمدي ورجائي.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
Us to fend for ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura, so stay with us.
Bari'tu ila Allah wa ilaykum minhum wa min ashiya'ihim wa atba'ihim wa awliya'ihim ya Aba Abdullah inni silmun liman salamakum.
The verse under discussion was this part of the ziyarah. Inni silmun liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum. I am surely at peace with he who is at peace with you, and at war with who is at war with you. Although we have rendered the phrase inni silmun liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum as I am at peace with he who is at peace with you and at war with who is at war with you. The phrase literally means, I am peace itself, silmun, with he who is at peace with you, and I am war itself with he who is at war with you. This is because the infinitive silm and harb are employed instead of the active participles like muharib. So they reveal intensity in expression. In other words, we are trying to express our intense peace and unity with he who is at peace with Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his loyal companions, an intense war against he who is at war with Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his loyal companions. Mullah Abdullah, in his Hashiyah, giving a similar example, says, إِذَا قُلْنَا زَيْدٌ عَدْلٌ فَهَذَا مُبَالَغَةٌ فِي اتِّصَافِهِ بِالْعَدَالَةِ حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ أَسْبَحْ عَيْنَ الْعَدْلِ. If we say زَيْدٌ عَدْلٌ instead of زَيْدٌ عَدِلٌ, then this is to intensely qualify him with justice, to the extent that it is as if he has turned into justice himself, and not just merely that he is qualified with justice. Allama Mirza Tehrani, in his commentary on Ziyarat Ashura, endorsing this explanation, says, the meanings of these silm and harb is what their infinitive connotations reveal. In order to manifest perfect submission and indulgence in obedience and assimilation, we must say, in our current station, we have reached such level that we have turned into reality of peace itself with those who are at peace with you, and into the true extension of war itself with those who are at war with you. And this was an interesting point worthy of consideration.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates him. He understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَحَارَبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ. And at war with he who is at war with you. Harb, or war, does not always take place by means of guns, tanks, and ammunitions. Attacking human soul and mind through the dissemination of a culture based upon forgetting the wise, based on forgetting the all creator, all cause, attachment to material world, and disrespect for human values can be so powerful and destructive that no ammunition can be compared to it. The television, the internet, the environment, etc., are all facilitators of this war against humanness. If the enemies are victorious in such fronts, the rest is not a big problem. This is because people who have been intoxicated with pleasures of the world, who have been amused heavily in the same cannot be ready to give their souls in the way of Allah. And this is what the enemies are trying to do. We have seen many cases with many countries where they had soldiers, but they had this spirit of intense love for martyrdom. Only one who has given up the pleasures of this material world can be ready to fight against any kind of power with all manner of ammunitions. Sometimes what the enemies try to do is to play us so that we will not know which battlefront is ours. So we must be astute enough to distinguish the different war fronts and defend and fight valiantly in the way of Allah. So there are two main responsibilities. First, distinguishing which war front we're in, and second, to have that spirit, to have that intense love for martyrdom, and of course, for defending the truth. Only in that case, we will be victorious. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر الله اکبر خمینی رهبر
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This program is about the life and times of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. And in today's program, we're going to begin it by listening to a quote from the Supreme Leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, who's going to say a few things about this great personality.
اگر عزت
عزت نفس در درون لایه‌های عمیق وجود انسان نفوذ کرد.
If self-respect permeates the deepest layers of one's being, one will not be affected by Satan. One will not be affected by human passions. One will not become a slave to lust and wrath. And Imam Khomeini was such a person.
امام در طول حیات چه در حوزه علم و تدریس
throughout his studying and teaching years, throughout the time he was engaged in political activities, and throughout the time he was managing the country, Imam Khomeini remained in manifestation of, quote, rely on the mighty, the merciful. The Holy Quran, chapter 26, verse 217.
برای همین بود که کارهای بزرگ که همه میگفتند نشدنی است.
It was for this reason that he managed to do what was considered impossible. All the obstacles which were considered insurmountable became surmountable after he stepped into the arena. Not only was Imam Khomeini the embodiment of honor and spiritual power, but he also revived the spirit of honor among our people. This was the great achievement that our magnanimous Imam accomplished.
روح عزت را در ملت هم زنده کرد. این کار بزرگ امام بزرگوار بود. ملت ما با احساس عزتی که از درس‌های انقلاب و امام آموخت.
Our nation rediscovered itself by relying on the sense of honor that it gained from Imam Khomeini and the revolution. Our nation discovered itself and its capabilities. And this is the reason why we have seen many of the divine promises being fulfilled in front of our eyes over the past few decades. We have seen with our own eyes the kind of things that we would only read about in history books. Over these years, we have seen the arrogant powers being defeated by the oppressed. We have seen that the seemingly impressive castles of the arrogant powers are built on air. We have seen many such things.
Once again, very powerful description of how he viewed the great Imam. And he mentions the fact that, of course, the Imam, as you mentioned in previous programs, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, first of all, I'd like to say salam to you and welcome to you to the program.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
He mentions the fact that, of course, Imam Khomeini came to help the oppressed. He came to raise those people who were oppressed, to give them confidence to stand and make their stand against the tyrants of our time. And, of course, we're going to speak about some major events that took place at the outset of the Islamic Revolution here in Iran, because there was so much going on, there's so much to speak about, and there were so many great events which really, both in the East as well as the West, we were completely taken aback by. We were sometimes quite shocked by what was happening. But again, you know, the Supreme Leader makes it very clear that the way he views the Imam as a pure personality who really challenged the Satan of our time. So, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, can you take us to the next level, if I can put it that way, in terms of, you know, what the Supreme Leader had to say about this great personality?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.